The Long Silence.
Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12 says, "Oh yes, the day is coming. These are the words of my master God. I'll send a famine through the whole country. It won't be food or water that's lacking, but my word. People will drift from one end of the country to the other, roam to the north, wander to the east. They'll go anywhere, listen to anyone, hoping to hear God's word, but they won't hear it."
The title of this reflection, The Long Silence, is referring to the period between God's final words in Malachi in the Old Testament and his words to Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, in Luke. God did speak then and supremely spoke through Jesus, and his timing was absolutely perfect. The long silence, however, was certainly long, 400 years. If we were to go back 400 years, Charles I would be coming to the throne. If Christine were to read the rest of the chapter in Amos, we would see that the famine of the words of God ended in judgment and exile for the people of Israel. On the other hand, the Old Testament prophecies were full of promise of Jesus coming, but then silence. Let's read some more scripture.
Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do."
We could talk about those 400 years, but I would like to make this a bit more practical. God is God. He is from eternity to eternity. He is the only wise God. He's holy. His ways and his thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. His timing is not our timing. The Apostle Peter says that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. We can no more understand God's ways than a small child can understand all of his parents' ways. Christine and I have 3 children. 2 vital objectives that we pray for our children are firstly that they'll find Jesus for themselves and discover God's purpose for their lives, and secondly that they'll find God's choice for their life partner. In 1994, I felt that God pointed out to me his words in Isaiah 59 for prayer. "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is on you, and my words that I put in your mouth, will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of your children's children, both now and forever, says the Lord." God heard our prayers for our daughter Ruth and for our son Tim, although Tim took some years and much prayer to find his wife, Christina. David took much longer and a great deal of prayer, and it was through his newly married wife also Ruth, that he has now begun to rediscover Jesus. There seemed to be a long, long silence from God, but God listened and revealed himself. I want to conclude this reflection by appealing to you to hang on in there, to fix your eyes on our Heavenly Father and not to let them slip. 2,000 years ago, God's words about Jesus all began to be fulfilled to the letter. Why the long silence then and the long silences now? He alone is God. Let us seek to know what his word is and pray into that word until it becomes reality. I'll leave you with a final recommendation, which is Pete Gregg's book, God on Mute, available from equippingthechurch.com. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we don't always understand your ways, and we don't always understand your timing. Help us to diligently seek your word and to earnestly pray that your word may be fulfilled in the lives of our family or our friends, in our work, in our church life, wherever you may have called us. Grant us patience, Heavenly Father, to wait for your perfect timing. In Jesus' name.